This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with co-host and Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hi there, Dave.
And our guest is Save the Bay Executive Director Jonathan Stone. We will talk about the intersection of climate change and investments and business circles and other things. Jonathan, thanks for coming.
Thanks for including me. I appreciate it.
First question, since you came on to Save the Bay 2009, you had a background in financial services, so you're seeing things from a couple of different worlds. Since 2009, in your experience with Save the Bay, has the perception of climate change had more acceptance in the business community?
Boy, it's a tough one. I hesitate to try and reflect on the business community's perceptions in whole, but I do think from where I sit at Save the Bay that there's a certainly greater awareness and appreciation for changes in the climate and that they're visible. Often people relate weather events to climate change, and over the long term they are related. And I think storms like Superstorm Sandy have been a wake-up call for people in the private sector, the public sector, what have you, about how climate change manifests itself and affects people up and down the seaboard.
But do you find that people have hit the snooze button, though? Just because there was a wake-up call, it doesn't mean that there's a lot of change in behavior.
I agree. I mean, I think there's a real problem, not so much with people's awareness of the science and awareness that there's a consensus around climate change, but there is, I think, a general sense of frustration with both understanding what you can do about it. So what? What am I supposed to do about it? It's changing over a 50-year, 100-year time frame. And I'm not sure the environmental community has been that effective at helping people understand, how these changes are going to affect people individually. And so I think there's a tendency for people to tune out more than they should, perhaps, but that's the reality.
And there seems to be, especially on the South Coast after Sandy, I mean, we've written a good bit about the rebuilding commercially, and some of it has happened, some of it is, sort of in the process, but part of it is also talking about different ways to deal with the eroding shoreline and other odds and ends. But it's not settled by any stretch.
I think that's a great point. There is lots of conflicting pressures on people who live and operate small businesses along the shoreline. And there are a lot of legal issues, for example, that the courts have yet to really resolve. As shorelines move, private property disappears. Tax bases are affected by private property changes. And we really have a hard time crafting changes in property laws and legal frameworks that would help communities adapt. We have a tendency to hold in place. There's a tendency to defend what you have, even though it may cost more and more and may be more and more ineffective, specifically on the topic of erosion, that you see that happening all the time. So there's a lag between public policy and the effects people see on the ground.
Flood insurance has been a major issue, both for Rhode Island, for the region, for the country. And we were talking before about insurance companies having to look at ventures internationally about their connection with climate change. What about that flood insurance issue? How deeply is that connected with planning for climate change?
Sure. I mean, I think it is. We know that insurance premiums are going higher, and the federal government has a year ago implemented a reform measure that has been this year delayed in Congress due to political pressure and the sticker shock, frankly, of the rate of increases that people are observing around the coast of the United States. I can speak firsthand at Save the Bay. We have a small aquarium in Newport. It's very popular. It's a great little facility, and we have flood insurance for it, and our insurance rates are going up dramatically. That has forced us to do what many businesses are doing, which is the reality of higher insurance rates forces you to consider alternatives, which in our case really means looking at new locations, trying to move away from the most vulnerable coastal areas. And I think that's something that will be inevitable. Property owners, homeowners, private businesses will have to deal with that, and we'll have to look at alternative locations.
In trying to turn perhaps a negative climate change into a positive, I was wondering, with Rhode Island's great assets of location, strategic location, Narragansett Bay, of course, the ocean, colleges, universities, a technical community, a school of oceanography at the University of Rhode Island, could Rhode Island, we'll say greater Rhode Island, even Southeast Mass, become a center of sorts for climate research, perhaps technical products, and ultimately a source of employment?
Well, I think you're right. In fact, that is happening now. We have an incredible resource in the state among our various academic institutions, and there are individuals at those institutions who are doing work today on various aspects of changing climate conditions. Maybe it's related to bleaching of corals, ocean acidification, shifts in populations of species. We had at Save the Bay yesterday, as a matter of fact, a workshop that we hosted among researchers studying the health of salt marshes, which are really critical habitats for commercial fisheries. And we're seeing an unprecedented rate of decline in what have been historically healthy salt marshes. And the amazing thing about this event was that we had far more people turn up than we expected. We had a huge number of researchers, public policy makers, nonprofits participating in this event to try and understand how to adapt, how to change our management practices to protect these salt marsh resources. So I do agree. I think we really do have expertise here that will be sought out from other parts of the country.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and our guest is Save the Bay Executive Director Jonathan Stone.
You know, going back to the conference that you just had, were there solutions that came out of it and things that people will actually act on?
Well, there I'd say there are certainly two important conclusions. There is there have been efforts funded at a local level and funded by the federal government to restore and protect salt marshes. And it's important that as we consider expending resources on those protection efforts, that we direct them to projects that are sustainable, that really do have a long-term benefit. No one wants to throw good money after bad and do something that is of no value. One area where we do see potential solutions to a problem is in low-lying areas where you have undeveloped land adjacent to salt marshes. It's nature's way that those marshes naturally migrate. One way we as people can help marshes migrate and to protect to some degree those marsh habitats is to conserve land along those low-lying coastal areas. A good example of that is in the Taunton River watershed, which is very low-lying, has hundreds and hundreds of acres of salt marsh, and much of the land adjacent to the salt water zone is very low-lying. It's either marsh or swamp or agricultural land. And so that helps us understand that as we think about land conservation, we should shift our focus a bit and really emphasize, to protect these coastal habitats, really emphasize land conservation in these low-lying adjacent areas.
So to wrap up quickly, planning financially, economically, environmentally, when you bring in climate change, it's something we need to think about in the long run, long term, decades.
Absolutely right. I mean, think about it this way. As we invest in our homes, in our businesses, in our public infrastructure, those investment decisions are made with a 20, 30, 40-year time frame, and that's the time frame we need to be thinking about these changes into climate.
Save the Bay Executive Director Jonathan Stone has been our guest on The Bottom Line. Jonathan, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks, too, to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Thank you, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.